Tiffany Joseph, come on.
All right, well, that was good for me, but give it up for Jesus. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Everybody excited? I'm thankful for, I got many things up here. I'm thankful for God and my pastors. Give it up for my pastors. I have the most amazingest pastors and family ever. And this morning, the word, if you missed it, you missed it. Because it was an on-time word, strictly God's heart. There was not a bit of flesh in it. It was totally just the Holy Spirit and doing what Holy Spirit does. And that's what Holy Spirit does. He speaks us truth. He tells us the good things. He doesn't never lead us astray. He always is leading us the right way. And he's always leading us to repentance. And just in my mind, I always had a million ways of thinking how I was going to open and saying this and saying that, but I really want to open with, you do not know what God has for you until you ask God to reveal it to you. And if you really know me, you know some people that don't know me, and I just made like a lot of friends, like Olivia and Mary, and oh, it's so becoming, it's Tiffany. But if you really know me, it's like sometimes I even got to do a double take, because this was not my plan. This was not my will. This was not, I got to be totally real. I made a promise to God, and I had weight loss surgery, okay? So I'm very picky about what I eat because I have an overweight fat gene, okay? So I made a promise to God that I will never sugarcoat the word, that if it costs me friendships, family, humiliating myself, shaming myself, people making fun of me, I don't care. I'm going to preach the word. So I never had it planned to be a minister Tiff, and especially a single minister Tiff. I'm just really going to be really honest with you. And this word, God, literally, his timing is perfect and his ways are perfect, but you have to ask him. You have to ask him. You have to get into that relationship with him. You have to get into that oneness, in that one accord with him. And I just got to reveal it to you how God showed me. Is everybody good? We good? I just got to reveal it to you how God showed me this. It says in the word, vision, signs, and wonders will accompany believers. And I am thankful that vision, signs, and wonders accompany me. And I had a vision, Olivia, of these two double doors. And they was these double doors, and they was these open double doors. And they was gold, and they was green in them. And it was just so bright and so light. And there was all my friends and all these people just walking to these doors. Just walking, and I'm telling you, double doors, kind of like oval doors. I want you to picture this. And it was these doors, right? And I'm just walking with everybody, and we're happy, and it's bright. And I felt the Holy Spirit touch my shoulder and pull me and say, that way. And I'm walking. It's light. It's bright. It's these double doors. It's fun. It's everybody's here. I know everybody. And he said, that way. And it was this door, and I won't use the picture. It was like an Alice in Wonderland door. And it was a small door, Olivia, and it was dark in this hallway, and there was nobody there. And he said, that way. And I'm like, God, is this you? Is this you? And again, just these big open doors, double, just I felt like they was calling my name. But deep inside my spirit, I was compelled to this little door. And I got to tell you how I got in this little door. There's a time to go in these doors. This is how you get in them. You don't get in doors by standing up and walking. You get in doors by God, by getting on your knees and asking God to reveal the things to you. Because that door was calling my name, but this door was calling my soul. And there's a time and a place where you have to get real with God, and you got to ask him, what is for me? Who is for me? Is this my will? Is this your will? Is this my purpose? We are wasting time. Jake, I want you put up my verse. He gave me this verse in Hebrews, and I just want to pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the souls that you brought here, God. I thank you for your will that's being done. I thank you for the vision, signs, and wonders that will accompany. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. And God, I just give you the praise, honor, and glory of what's going to happen, God, of what you're already doing behind the scenes, God. We got faith to see it tonight, and I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to teach you a skill tonight.
Because spiritual warfare is not something you're born with. It's something that you got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to fight with the word. It says the word, it's likened to a sword, a double-edged sword. And this is not just for the pastor, for the preacher, for the evangelist. See, because we have this mindset that, oh, well, I'm not going to be a minister. Oh, well, I'm not an evangelist now. Oh, well, I'm not this. Well, I'm not that. You're a child of God, aren't you? Don't you want that inheritance? Aren't you an inheritance? It's saying, don't you want to go to heaven? Pastor Jen said it blunt as day. Everybody is not going to heaven, guys. Everybody, we don't have free tickets here. There is no free ticket. Here you go. Just everybody goes to heaven. We can do what we want, say what we want, live how we want, think how we want. And oh, God knows my heart. You know what it says about God knowing your heart? You know what our heart is? It's an idol maker. Our heart is where idols are made. But you know what else our heart is? It's where the kingdom of God is. This is why we have to keep it so pure. This is why we have to constantly keep it, Steph, on the altar. This is why we have to constantly protect in our gateways. What are we hearing? What are we watching? What are we thinking about? What am I speaking? Amen. So I want to teach you a skill tonight, because each and every person, whether you're a father, a mother, a single, a divorced, a widow, a child, if you are in here tonight, you are running the race of faith, and you must finish in order to get your reward, because everybody doesn't get the reward. Because everybody doesn't finish. And like I said, believe me, if you know me, you know me. And this little door was not the door I wanted. Was not the door. I cried and I asked the Lord. And I said, I'm telling you, I just, these double doors, and you would think, and it was light. And everybody was going to them. And I'm telling you, it's like, you know, when you're trying to get your kid's attention, it's the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get your attention. He pulled me on my shoulder and that way. And I was like, no, no. But moving forward, because I want the reward. Who wants the reward? I want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. I want the reward. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses of the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Amen. And that's a good word. So the skill that we're learning here tonight is we're going to learn how to lay aside. And there's a difference there. See, the author of Hebrews, he talks about the weight and the sin. So I want to talk to you about the weight that is slowing us down. See, because a weight and a sin is two different things. And it's something that I never understood, Steph, until I really studied this. So we're talking about a marathon. We're talking about running a race here, right? We're talking about our faith being built up, because it's a faith race, amen? So I want to talk about the weight. Weight is going to slow us down. Weight is going to cause us to run ineffectively. Each and every person here, as long as you could stand, you have a capability to run. Because the first step to run is you have to stand. Amen? So, and then the second thing is, in order to run, you need a sight to run. So we have to talk about our faith first, because again, we have to know where we're running. So just as our eyes are the organ that are used for sight, our faith is the organ that is used to see the unseen realms. Our faith is the organ, and I want you to think of it as an organ. Just how you see my eyes, you know what I'm saying? That's how I want you to picture faith. I want you to picture it as an organ. I want to know how your faith organ is doing. I want to know how your faith body part is doing, because that's what's going to get rewarded. Not the money, not how many church services you went to, not how many homeless outreaches you did, not however many people you prayed for. Is this making sense? Your faith is what God is going to give you a reward to. You know, I think about the man of God that just passed away. I can't say his name. That one. And I think about the welcoming that he got at the gates. I think about the faith. I think about see that cloud of witnesses. I think about the surrounded cloud of witnesses around him that welcome him in because he was rewarded for running his race. We have to be running our race. We are running our race aimlessly, with no purpose, with no passion, and we're not knowing where we're going. And we're living life just so nonchalant and casually. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. What do you mean? What are you talking about? We have to pray for the lost. We have to pray for our family members that are bound. We have to pray for the depressed. We have to pray that our church is filled. We have to pray that our families are coming home at night reading their Bibles. We have to pray for ordained God marriages. We have to pray for doctor's appointments that we go to because we don't know the purpose that we're there. God told me, he said, I'm breaking the cycle of need. I said, okay, that means. What do I mean? Is this making sense? Everybody good? We live in such a cycle. The Christians, I'm talking to spirit-filled, anointed, God-filled Christians. This is who this word is for because God wants you to run. He's saying it's time to run now, baby. It's time to go. It's time to grow. It's time to get to the finish line. We don't have time to tarry. We don't have time to delay. We don't have time to step down. We don't have time to think if we should serve or not. We don't have time to think if I should pray for somebody or not. We don't have time. We are on here on a mission, on a purpose, and we lost it. We lost it because the big compelling lights, the big open doors, the big friendships, the big positions, and we're so fixed on a need, Mike. I need God to meet my need. And we're stuck in this pattern. And God is amazing because he is not a man that he should lie, and he keeps every promise, and he meets the need. But then what happens? We're back to the need again. Back in that struggle, back in that cycle, back in that force. Why? Because we're not asking God for the purpose of the need. We're not asking God, why am I in this situation, God? Why am I here right now, God? What is the purpose that I'm in this situation, God? Who am I supposed to minister to? Who am I supposed to see? My mama, the first day that she got her treatment, right? She comes home. She sucks down a whole pecan log on the way home. Her sugar's 6-something, so we go to the hospital, right? If you know me, I hate hospitals. It's like I can't. But I go to the hospital, right? And instantly I'm like, well, you know, girl, I'll just clean. And if you know me, I don't do that either. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'll just. And then the Lord, I said, okay, God. I said, you know what? You're sending me, we're doing something. You're sending me, I'm going on a purpose. We met this nurse, prayed with this woman. Instantly, as soon as we prayed with this woman, we left 15 minutes later. That's just how the favor was there. Mom's sugar went down. Everything was great. But I asked for the purpose, Pastor Jen. I said, why are we here? Sometimes we get so fixed and we get so caught up in the cycle of the need. We're never going to reach the purpose if we're stuck in the need. But if we knew and if we believed with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our soul, and all of our strength, Philippians 4:19, that says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, then you know what? I got a need. God, you know it. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to rest on it. I'm going to just jump on it, and I'm just going to move right on, God, and I'm going to believe for the purpose to come forth, God. Maybe there's a home, Mike, that you need to go to that needs to see a man out there praying with equipment. You don't know. You don't know until you do it. Maybe there's a person, Steph, a nurse that needs to be ministered to. You don't know. You don't know until you do it. I dare you, wherever you're at, if it's in the grocery store, if it's at the barber shop, if it's at McDonald's, talk to somebody for 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Why not? We talk to them if we need money or if we want something from them. Why not just say something about Jesus to them? They're not going to bite you. They're not going to spit at you. They're not going to cuss you out. And if you do, you just walk on. Amen? We have fallen in an Esau syndrome. Say Esau syndrome. We are trading our God purposes, our God gifts, our God-ordained inheritances for eyesight, short-term appetite, meal size needs. We have fallen into an Esau syndrome. The church, not the believers. I expect the believers, the non-believers, to do that. They don't know better. They've never encountered. They're not filled. They don't know the word. Amen. But we have fallen as a church into an Esau syndrome. We want quick fixes, quick releases, quick answers, quick decisions, quick life, quick God. We want a long distance relationship with God, what an Amazon Prime blessing schedule. And let me tell you what, it don't happen like that. It don't happen like that. We do. God, you stay there. I'm good. We're good. We're good. Florida's coming up. We're good. But come on, God. We need the money. We need this. We need that. Amen. I love you guys. I love you. Like I said, it's okay. Hashtag God, find me new friends. Anyways. No, guys. This is about your soul. We got to spend some time. We got to get on our knees. We got to ask for some answers. We got to seek for some decisions. It says in Hebrews 11:6, Jake, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's that word diligently mean? Over and over and over again. This is not a one-time seeking. This is not a one-time answer. This is not a one-time leading. Amen. This is diligently, day after day after day. Amen. Put back on Hebrews 12:1, because I like that one. I want to talk about the weights that slow us down. I want to talk about the weights that are causing us to run not effectively. I want to talk about the weights of anxiety, the weights of desires, the weights of distraction, the cares of the world, the fears. How about the wrong beliefs? How about your sight? How about these things that we're seeing, these things that we're feeling, our emotions that are causing us to, again, this is the scary part about the weight. It doesn't stop you automatically. Again, it just hinders you. So it just delays you. It just makes you run and maybe put pressure on something that it was never meant to put pressure on, which causes a long-term injury. So that's what the weight does. It's not going to stop you. You understand? But it's going to delay you. It's going to hinder you. Then I want to talk about the weights of, how about mindset? How about when we're just stuck in the same mindset, just like the needy mindset over and over again? That's a weight, because we're not running with purpose. We're not running with the passion. We're not running with the God intention that he meant for us to run with. So basically, you're just running, but you're just so nonchalant, and you don't even know where you're going. How many times do we ever just feel like that? Well, I'm supposed to be doing this. What do you mean you're supposed to be doing this? What about the doctor's reports? What about that kind of weight? What about how we feel? And again, like we're praying now for healing. We believe you, Lord, you're our healer. But it's almost like we can't break free to really run loose. You know what I'm saying? Because we feel the weight of this report on us. Maybe we keep looking at it. The more weight we have, the less faith we have. Why? Because they can't flow in conjunction to each other. They're not good for one another. Our faith must be the biggest thing on us, the biggest organ on our body. Amen? Our faith must overflow. Our faith must drown out and cut off these weights. It's not the faith in the circumstance. It's not the faith in the doctor. It's the faith in God. When I went for my interview, the lady said to me that interviewed me, she said, your faith will never be bigger than your knowledge of who God is. And at that time, I was just like, okay. But then I went home and I really meditated on it, kid. We have to know who God is. We really, really do. It's, listen, we need, these are the promises that he has for us, but we have to build a trusted bond with him to believe that he's going to fulfill them. That's where the time comes in with God. That's where the debt to self comes in. That's where I'm going to pass the plate because I need to hear from God. But we have fallen again into the Esau syndrome to where I can't fast anymore. It's not working. It works everybody else but me. I don't know. I mean, if only I could hear God like you. If only this, if only that. If only you would stay a little longer. Stay a little longer. That's what God is saying. Just run a little longer. Stay a little longer. Amen? Then it says, we good? Especially the sin that so easily ensnares us. That easily entraps us. Ensnares in the other version. And I want to talk about sin because we don't ever talk about sin. So we on this earth can never be sinless. But the more we get in the Word, we can sin less. You understand what I'm saying? So again, to set ourselves up, Mary, to be sinless, that's a false expectation. We live in a fallen world. Our flesh will not be fully saved until Christ Jesus returns back on earth. Amen? But we can sin less. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who wants to sin less? I want to sin less. Amen? I want to tell us about how sin and how dangerous it is to have in our life if we don't repent. This good? Everybody alive? Awesome. Awesome. I love talking to live people. Amen. Hold on. Oh, Jake, you got that one? Oh. Isaiah 54. It says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It is sin that has cut you off from God. Because your sin, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Let me tell you, if that don't scare you, I don't know what will. Let me tell you what, you better get on your knees and you better ask God. Again, it says, it's not that he's too weak to hear you. It's not that he's too weak to deliver you. It says that because there is sin in our lives that we have unrepented for, he has a deaf ear towards us. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means he's not hearing our prayers. That means, how? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin is a disease that has to be touched by God.
That's right.
Sin is an incurable disease that you can't fix it on your own. You can't stop being an addict. You can't stop thinking about it on your own, but it's a fight, and you got to keep doing it. Let me tell you how you fight. A fighter don't. If, who's a fighter? What's that boxer guy? Floyd Mayweather. If he would go and, if he would just take one hit, amen, if he would just go and just hit one time, he wouldn't be known as a fighter, Olivia. But it's multiple hits is what makes a fighter. You might have just kicked the devil one time. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I'm thinking of Stephanie. But you got to keep fighting because you have a sinful nature. Amen? You have a sinful nature, and in the Bible it says it's likened to it's crouching at the door. It's a beast that wants to devour you. It wants to overtake you. It just wants to ruin you. It does not want you to repent. It wants you to keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on sinning. And let me tell you something about sin. Let me tell you something about the devil. He will make you go at a cost that you wasn't willing to pay. At first you just think, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. No big deal, right? But let me tell you what. You get stuck in a cycle. You get stuck in a pattern. And guess what? Then everybody else ain't doing it. But it's like, I'm still stuck here. Why? Then you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only deliverer that can deliver you from bondage, from addiction. And the first step to know you're addicted to something is when you think it's not a problem. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to put that mask over your eyes to think, I could stop it whenever I want. I don't have to do this. I don't have to cheat. I don't have to cheat people. I want to. Sin is lawlessness and godlessness. Sin is saying yes to me. That's all it is. We put it in fancy words and all these other things, but all sin is really doing, again, I love yous, is just living my life the way I want to live it, because it's my life and I could do what I want and sleep how I want and do and whatever. No, baby girl. You come here. You're here on a mission. Your purpose in life, if you don't know your purpose in life, I want to tell you one of your purposes is to praise God. God created you for you could praise Him. God created each and every person in here as a worshiper. God created each and every person in here with people and souls and lives connected to you to advance His kingdom here on earth. You're not here by a mistake. God don't make mistakes. You're not here by an experiment. God don't do experiments. You are here by divine purpose, divine calling, a divine time for a godly use. So it's time that we lay aside the weight that slows us down and we lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us. Amen. I want to talk to us about one more thing. How am I doing on time? I want to talk to us about idols. And I want you to pull up Exodus. We good, everybody? I want to talk about idols because idols are bad guys. Idols are bad. Idols are bad and they're very common. And we don't even know because, again, we just think it's so natural. It's so, okay, you understand? Idols, let me tell you why an idol is bad. Because we put our trust, our worship, and we obey Him. That's why an idol is bad. That's why idols are wrong. Because we think if we don't have them, we have no meaning and have no purpose of life. We think so what they do is they totally want to replace the place of God that's in our heart. Remember, idols are in our heart. Our heart could be used as an idol maker if we don't watch it, if we don't protect it, if we don't guard it. Idols are created when we have a lack of knowledge of God and a lack of knowledge of our God-given purpose on earth. Why? Because we think I need that in order to succeed. I need that in order to do this. I need that in order to get that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is when idols are created, when we have a lack of knowledge of who God is, because God is our supplier. He's our rescuer. He's our vindicator. He's our supplier. He is the ultimate source. It's not that work is bad. God never says that work is bad. But it's when we think we have no meaning outside of work. How are we going to get if we don't work? How is this? How is that? And you don't even know it, but see that fight? See that weight? You feel that weight that automatically just comes on you and you're trying to run and you're trying to go and you're weighed down because the idol has come into our heart and has overtaken it. I want us to read Exodus. Exodus, okay. So this is the Ten Commandments, part of it. It says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other gods but me. You must not make of yourself an idol of any kind or of an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Or in the sea. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Wow. So let me just explain you something, what's going on here. Go back to the first one. I just want to explain you why the Lord revealed this twice. Because He did. I'm going to show you. One second here. Hold on. I got a million and a trillion things up here. Is it up there? Okay. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, Lord, you said that. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or in the earth below or in the waters of the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them, for I am the Lord your God, a jealous God. So he already said it before. Why do you have to say it again? Why? Because you have to understand where these people come from. They just come from slavery. They just come from being in bondage where they worship gods, little g's. So for them to make God, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, okay, it's just another god on our list we'll pray to. No. See, he wanted them to know, I am God, the God who delivered you out of Egypt, the God who was the God before any other God. This is why he had to tell them, because it would have just been another God on their list. He didn't want just another God on their list. He wanted them to know his true identity. He wanted them to know, I'm the deliverer. He wanted to know, I'm your rescuer. He wanted to know, see them little g's? They're under me. They're under my feet. I'm before them. I'm the Lord your God. And that's just like all of us. We could have a lot of little g's in our life, but where's the big g at? Is he coming after the little g, or is he before all the big g's in your life? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why he said it twice. He did it with such a purpose and such an authority. Because why? God knows his children. He knew the children of Israel. He knew how they was going to think, okay, no big deal. We'll pray to him too. Cool, God. No, he wanted to cancel out every other God. He wants to cancel out because he does not want us having false worship. That's false worship. That's adultery. He does not want us in sin. Why does he not want us in sin? Because he wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants you to run this race. He wants you to finish. He wants you to cross the finish line. Amen. He wants you to live life on purpose for a purpose. He wants you to reach your destiny. He wants you to have every promise and every gift that he established in your life. He wants it to come forth. Amen. I want you, Jake, put up Matthew 5:33. How am I on time? I think I'm like coming to like a swerve. Guys, you know me. It says in Hebrews 12, it says we need to run this race with endurance. Endurance means to bear hardships, difficulties, and lasting qualities. We have, as Christians, as faith runners, right? Amen. Everybody staying with me? We're faith runners. We have to get over that we are going to have hardships, that we are going to have persecution, that you are going to face difficulty, that you are going to face hard times here on this side of eternity. That is what running with endurance is. But you know what, kid? This is the amazing part of Hebrews 12. He wants you to finish with joy. He wants you to finish with a joy that only comes from him. He wants you to finish with a joy that is just so deep, built up, deep rooted inside you. Because you want to know why? It says in Matthew 5, and it starts, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed. We want a hashtag blessed on everything. Hashtag blessed new car. Hashtag blessed new house. Hashtag blessed. I said yes. Let me tell you what blessed is. It's an experience of hope and joy independent of outward circumstances. Blessed isn't here. I'm blessed inside. Doesn't matter what the report says. Doesn't matter what's coming in our house. Doesn't matter what's coming against me. Doesn't matter what I'm seeing. Blessed isn't here. But blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Meekness. Don't confuse my meekness with weakness, right, Pastor Jen? Meek Jesus was meek in all of his ways. We're so fixed on trying to see the potential and work everything out, we're missing the purposes. We're missing the purpose trying to fulfill the potential. What do you mean, Tip? Jesus died with potential. He could have called down angels to rescue him, but it wasn't his purpose. He wouldn't have fulfilled his purpose if he would have called on angels to rescue him from the cross. It was God's given, God's divine purpose for him to die on the cross. So he died with potential, but he didn't die with purpose. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you want purpose? Do you want God purpose in your children, in your homes, in your business, in your finances? Do you want your name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you want your prayers to be answered? Do you want your sick loved ones to be healed? Do you want broken hearts mended? Amen. Do you want to see the promises of God? Do you want goodness? Do you want to see God's goodness? He promises that he will show you his goodness in the land of the living. This is the land of the living. Don't you want to see it? Are you hungry for it? What are you going to do to get it? There's a devil out there who does not sleep, who is always, always, always on it. Am I giving him glory? Absolutely not. But he must be exposed. And you know what his purpose is? He knows his purpose. Yes, he does, and he knows it very well. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have Christians, spirit-filled, churchgoers, anointed, not knowing purpose, not walking in their callings, not walking where God wants them to walk. Because why? We got so much self. We got so much, I'm not feeling it. I'm not wanting to do it. Listen, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't wanting to do this. I'm telling you, this message was for me first. I'm telling you, this is a hard word to digest because it's real. It's blunt. It's God. It's just God. And it's just his requirements for us. We can't be so nonchalant anymore. We are living in the end times. You've already been warned. You've already heard. Now what are you going to do about it? What is your faith telling you to do about it now? We sometimes get faith, and it confuses me because we get a measure of faith, and then we want to stop doing things. I have the faith that God will do it. Your actions will follow. Your actions will always follow your faith because your actions follow what you believe. It's time that as the Christian, we learn how to fight the enemy. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations in God, in the Word, in his presence. But I got to share one more thing, and I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I have to share this. There's going to come a time in your race that you're going to hit the wall. What's that? So the Holy Spirit told me, Mary, to Google marathons and watch people run marathons, right? So I was watching people run. And about almost halfway, maybe a little bit more, they hit the wall. It's inevitable not to hit the wall running a marathon. It doesn't matter how much you train. It doesn't matter how much you ate, you carb loaded, or whatever they do. You will hit the wall. Hitting the wall is the point of true exhaustion of your body, to where literally, Mary, they sit there and they just fall and they're just so blank and they're just so dead and they just so stare. And this word is for the growing Christian. This word is for a person in here that's hit the wall and they don't want to go on, and literally they'll be in this race and they got a little cameraman right beside them and they're like, I'm dying. I can't go on. And they're just like zombies. They can't move. They can't think. And they just literally, it is at the complete exhaustion. There is nothing left in their body. And they did a study, Pastor Jen. They did a study on people that run marathons. They did one group that did a study. So they did this study and they split these two groups up. And in the one group, they said, when you hit the wall, you're going to encourage yourself. In the other group, they said, you just do what you do. So the group that encouraged themselves still hit the wall, but made it at a faster speed and finished. I'm telling you today, Christian, woman, man of God, who has hit the wall, encourage yourself in the Lord. Get back up again. Don't you stay down. Them doors is going to open. Because why? God wants them souls to be saved. God wants them hearts to be healed. God wants them connections to be made. God wants them songs to be sung. God wants them husbands to be delivered. God wants them babies to be healed, because he wants the testimony. Because he's a jealous God, and he wants all the glory. He wants all the honor, and he wants all the praise. So I encourage you today, if you hit the wall, if you're sitting there and you're saying, because you want to know why? Sometimes, Pastor Jen, I want everybody else to encourage me. I want every prophetess I know to text me. I want everybody to start a big prayer chain. And listen, that's all great. And I believe, yes, people hear from the Lord. People speak on the Lord's behalf. But let me tell you what, there's a time and a place where I got to get alone with me and my God, and we got to work it out. And I got to say, bless this sheep who will mourn. Let me tell you what, this was a year for me that I cried. I never cried so much in my life that my eyelash lady said, Tiffany, everybody always asks me, are you single? Yeah, I'm single. She said to me, we got to talk about this guy. I said, what? I told you I'm single. She said, Jesus, he's really costing you. She said, you ain't got no lashes every time you come in here, and it's always 2 weeks. She said, why does he make you cry? I didn't know what to say. I said, it's for a cause, Kelly, right? Just the fact that she said Jesus, I was like overwhelmed. But anyways, that's besides the point. This was a year I cried. This was a year of, I'm telling you, if it was a year that I've ever hit the wall, and if I was ever going to stop, let me tell you what, it would have been 2019. But let me tell you what, God gave me a promise. He said, what you reap in tears, what you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy. So I know 2020 has got joy written on my name. I'm telling you today, you got to encourage yourself. You got to encourage your family. You got to encourage your girls. You got to encourage your neighbor, because that's why we're here. This is building up the kingdom. This is getting us ready to go out and to fight. This is getting us ready to go out and tell people about the king that's coming. Because there's some, you know, I read on somebody's Instagram, and I'm really close and I'm really coming to an end, I promise. But somebody wrote on their Instagram, we're all talking about the second coming. Some never heard of the first. Some never heard of the first. And we come in here and we sit, and I've been telling you, I've been feeling the physical weight. That's what's really been happening to me. God totally took the supernatural and made it real on me. And I've been feeling this weight, and I don't want to run with weight anymore. I lost that. I'm over that. I don't want no weight. I don't want no sin. I don't want all of that stuff. I want to go, because you want to know why? I want to see the rewarder. I want to see the perfecter. I want to see that king. I want to cross that finish line. But you know what? I want everybody else to come too. And that's my purpose, is to share the goodness and the glory of God. That's what I'm here for. And you know what? I want my family and my friends to come with me. Don't you want to come? And it is. And let me tell you, it was all through that little door. It was all through that little door. And it's still not over yet. Hashtag not over. I'm still in this little door. But let me tell you what, and I got to share this, and I really am. I'm letting it go. And I want to pray. I'm telling you, this is literally, I go into the prayer room. I don't even have a word. I can't even pray in words. Sometimes I do. I just sit there and just watch the lashes fall out. And I just pray, and sometimes I'm telling you, I make myself one with the carpet. It's like literally, like I'm so down. I've never been this low, not only just in my spirit, but physically. I never even knew my physical body could get this low, right? And I'm telling you, this is how I've been, Mary, and just been crying and just weeping. That's why I know that God, that our tears are language to God, because I haven't had words to pray. And I get a call from Lisa Hicks. This was 2 weeks ago. And she said, my girl, she said, the enemy meant to hit your head, but because you were so low, he missed. Because you were so low, he missed. That's how low you gotta get. You wanna grow? You've been through some blows in your life. If you want to grow, you got to get down low. You got to go where nobody else is. You got to do what nobody else wants to do. And let me tell you what, He's worth it. And like I said, I've cried a lot, but what I sowed in tears, I'm going to reap in joy. And I just want everybody to stand. I want every runner in here to stand. And I want to pray for you. And if you want prayer, I want you to come up. And we can't beg you. We can't keep calling you. If your spirit's compelled, you walk on up. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your transparency. I thank you that you're a trustworthy God, that you're an honoring God, that you're a God that is meek in all of his ways. God, I pray your will is done here tonight, God, on earth as it is in heaven, because in heaven it's finished, God. And Lord, I pray for the anointing to fall like never before, God, that blinded eyes would see, Lord, that deaf ears would hear, God, that addictions would be broken tonight, God, that healing would take place, God. Thank you, Lord, for each and every soul that this went on, my God. Thank you, Lord, just for the honesty we can have with you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the repentance that's coming tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, that repentance brings revival. So, God, I praise you in advance for the revival that's going on here tonight. In the name of